Good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru. I'm glad to be with you this morning. I hope you feel the same way as I do. I've been riding around in the new 2021 Ford Bronco. We have a two-door model that came in for, it was a sold order, and the people had changed their mind and bought another one that we had come in earlier. And so we have a two-door Badlands edition that's available. It's got the 2.7 liter V6. I start to say inline six. Where's that coming from? The Bronco, the two-door Bronco is probably the one that I would buy just for myself, just to cruise around in and, you know, maybe go off-road, go up in the mountains, that kind of stuff. I would not buy a two-door Bronco for any kind of family use or anything. We have been selling a lot of the Bronco Sports. You know, the Bronco Sport was based on the Ford Escape, and I wasn't too thrilled with that concept until I saw it. And they really beefed that thing up, and it's getting rave reviews. It is outselling everything that Jeep has in that same category. And, you know, as a Ford dealer, I wish I had 50 of them in stock. But, you know, we don't have much anything, as most dealers in the Tri-Cities. I was going around. Sometimes I just check out other dealer inventories. You know, one of the top dealers in the nation in terms of retail sales is a dealership called Paragon Honda, and that is in New York, near New York City, real close. They're considered the Honda dealer of New York City, that is. And normally they would have about 1,200 to 1,400 Hondas in stock. They've got 211. So I just thought I'd check the local Honda inventories. I just went to Johnson City Honda. They've got 23 Hondas in stock, folks. Normally, I'm sure Joe Tarillo would probably have, you know, a couple hundred in stock. Honda dealers are struggling to get inventory. U.S. inventories are around 20,000 for Honda dealers. You know how many they would normally have in stock at this time of year? Over 250,000. No, sorry, 350,000. Wow. That is, that's substantial. And it's the, you know what the culprit is. I don't need to keep saying it. Check the Toyota dealer in Johnson City. They've got a whopping 19 vehicles in stock. Now, it's not like they're only going to sell 19 this month. I hope you do understand that every day vehicles come in and they go back out again. A lot of the dealers are surviving on orders. And so if you want something in the, like, let's say you want a vehicle in the spring, I'm going to recommend that you, and let's say you want an Acura, then I would recommend that you go to Bill Gatton Acura and order it. Now, import cars are a little bit different. Sometimes you can kind of order them. They have much fewer options available or variations than American manufacturers do. So, you know, you might be able to get it in a shorter period of time. If you go to a Chevrolet dealership or a Ram or a Ford dealer, they're going to probably tell you that they would like to get your vehicle in the traditional 6 to 8 weeks. But, folks, it's not going to happen. There's no way that anybody can tell you with any degree of certainty when something's going to come in. And that's just the world we're in right now. Champion Chevrolet, I checked their inventory. They're extremely low, too. I think they had, 90 vehicles in stock. Sounds like a lot, 90. Not to a dealer that normally stocks 300 or 350 cars. But it's as soon as they come in, they're turning those cars. And that's what my Ford regional manager told me. He said, Lenny, the important thing is that whatever you do get, that it hits the road quickly. And because the dealers that are turning their inventory the fastest are the ones that are going to get the most allocations of additional inventory. So I've told my folks, I said, don't let it sit. Let's move it out. It's important. And trade-ins, you know, I did mention yesterday, I think most of you are safe as far as trade values are concerned, because I don't see a cure to this anytime soon. And so as long as there's a low supply of new vehicles, there's going to be a lower supply of used vehicles and more people going after them. We go to the auctions. It's basically a waste of time to go to the auto auctions because there's too few, too little inventory, and too many people raising their hands trying to buy it, and the prices are just not good. So we try to trade for everything or buy stuff off the street. We've been buying a lot of cars off the street, more so than ever in my history in the car business. That's 43 years. People come in and just saying, well, you know, I just don't need this car anymore. I'm just going to sell it. You know, if you have an old car that you want to sell, I'll buy it. But so will every other used car dealer in the world. So, I mean, if you want to know what your car is worth, feel free to give me a call on my cell phone, 423-552-2020. I need the VIN number. I need the options that the vehicle has on it. Let's say that it's a Chevy Traverse. And I need to know if it has an LT package or an LTZ package, you know, the condition of the tires. Does it have, you know, are the wheels all scuffed up? I mean, I need some details. I need to know the condition, and I can hit you pretty close as far as the number is concerned. And I had a guy yesterday that called me and said that he already had a quote from CarMax to buy his car. And he said, Lenny, I'd rather sell it to you. And I said, well, I'd love to have it. It was a 2018 Ford Escape with just 7,000 miles on it. So I told him what I would give. And I was within $500 of what CarMax, I think $500 of what CarMax said. And so he said, well, can you do this? And I said, well, sure. So they're going to let me know. But that happens to me multiple times a day, as well as to my nephew and my son-in-law, who's the sales manager. And we're constantly getting people calling in, so you want to buy my car? And we do most of the time, unless it's just some, you know, it's just not something that's desirable. But that's always an option. If you have any old cars or know of old cars, you know how I feel about them. I like to buy old cars, especially if they have two doors on them, or if it's a truck, if it's a short bed. But you know, when I'm talking old, you know, I'm not into Model A's and Model T's and cars from the 40s and stuff like that. But I'll look at them if they have a convertible top. You know, certain things are selling really well right now. I'm really glad I've kind of fell in love with vintage Mustangs, because I have three right now, and they are way better than money in the stock market. At least in the last year, they have skyrocketed in value. So if you have an old Mustang, now not necessarily the coupes or the six cylinders, if it's got a 289 in it, it's original engine, it's a fastback or a convertible, you might need to talk to me, because I might be able to make you some money. I had to say bye-bye last night, 9:30. Some Russian guy came to pick up my wife's VW 1957 VW that I sold to a guy up in Canada. Sold it on bringatrailer.com. He was the high bidder. And it was interesting. I was supposed to meet the guy at 6:30. Well, they got a call, and he could not understand me. I mean, I ended up calling him, and I say, when are you going to be here? And he says, send text. I said, oh, okay, I'll send a text. So I sent the text, and he responded in perfect English in the text. That's because he has a translator app on his phone. So when he got here finally at 9:30 last night, nice guy, you know, big smile on his face, but I couldn't understand a word he said, and he couldn't understand a word I said. So I asked him a couple questions. I gave up on it. And so all of a sudden he turns away from me with his cell phone in his hand, and he says, and he's talking to his cell phone. And I figured he was talking to somebody on the phone, but no, he was doing basically talking into the phone so it can translate into English. So then next thing I know, he's holding the phone up to me. And it said, I am so sorry that I was late. I hope you understand. Thank you for waiting on me. And I looked at him and gave him the thumbs up, because I knew he wouldn't understand if I said, that's okay, or you're welcome. But he was, folks, you have no idea how popular shipping is right now of cars and stuff. I think there's a television show in there called Shipping Wars or something like that on TV. And it's about people who bid on transportation jobs of all different types of products. People use, you know, flatbed trailers, open trailers, enclosed trailers, all kinds of stuff to ship vehicles or ship armoires or whatever they're shipping. So it is a big business. And so I called this one company called Montway, and they are all they do is consolidate different independent shipping companies around the country. And they are kind of like a middleman, and they hire people for you, and then those people show up. I'm hoping they have to meet some kind of a standard. You know, you would certainly hope so. I was quite concerned, though, when the guy couldn't understand a word I was saying on the phone. But once he got there and I saw he had a pretty much a one-year-old F-350, and a big long trailer an enclosed trailer that would haul two cars. You don't see that very often. Had three tandem axles on it. So that's kind of rare. So somebody had invested some money, and he had his DOT number on the side. It's funny. The name of his company is Lada Transportation. Now you may, Lada meaning not a whole Lada, but LADA. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Probably not, unless you're a car person. But Lada used to be the number one selling brand name of car in the Soviet Union, which is not so much a union now. I think it's just Russia. But, you know, Putin's trying to put it all back together again. He wants Ukraine bad, doesn't he? Oh, well, we won't worry about that. We'll take our first break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. Do you ever worry about what's going to happen to all of us people in flyover country when all we have to choose from are electric vehicles and no place to charge them except our houses? Well, there's a lot of people that are concerned about that. Matter of fact, NADA, National Auto Dealers Association, General Motors, and the UAW all testified at a House hearing. Do those do any good? On the electric vehicle impact for rural communities. And so they are thinking about us. I just wanted you to know that. You know, another thing is that they brought up, and this was a dealer in, let's see, where was he from? Matthew Laffridge. He's a Hyundai Genesis dealer based in Cartersville, Georgia. That's flyover country. But he testified on behalf of NADA. And basically, he stressed the importance of car dealers. Of course, he is a car dealer. He's somewhat biased. I'm on his side. But he said that dealers are all in, and we are, on selling and servicing EVs, because what choice do we have when that's what the manufacturers are going to be selling? Now, I've got four charging stations at my dealership. And, you know, the manufacturers, both Nissan and Ford, have said, you will be selling EVs. And you will provide charging stations to customers, and you will like it. So we also had to invest in a whole lot of equipment to be able to, you know, work on them. If somebody's battery is gone kaput, or, you know, if they have a bad lithium ion cell in their, out of the 321 lithium ion cells in their vehicle, if we have to replace a couple of them, then we can drop that battery down and replace them. But, you know, those batteries in the Mach-E Mustang weigh over 1,200 pounds. So you just can't get a couple guys underneath it and say, okay, loosen the bolts. No, that doesn't work. You've got to have a special type of lift, which I bought. It was $5,400. And Nissan, we already had one. When we bought the Nissan dealership, we got one with that transaction, but we had to buy one for Ford. So, you know, dealerships are committing, and they're also available. You know, you think about all the dealers in Johnson City, Kingsport, Bristol, Morristown, Knoxville, a lot of car dealers. Very accessible, too. And, you know, they may not be right next to your favorite restaurant or right next to Lowe's or, you know, right in the middle of downtown. They are out, you know, and away from a lot of shopping areas, but, you know, they are doing what they can to give people places to charge and, of course, service their vehicles when they need them. Now, this guy that I sold my wife's Volkswagen to up in New York, he's been driving a Tesla for 2 years, and I had an interesting conversation with him. I said, have you ever suffered from range anxiety? He said, I did at first, but once I figured out the capability of the car, then that went away. He actually lives in upper state New York, near Albany, but he actually works, his office is in Brooklyn. So he commutes, and it's an easy commute in his Tesla. And, you know, he's bought no gas in 2 years. Now, is the electricity free that he gets? Heck no, it's not free. He has to pay for it. And he has to, you know, locate a charging station. And he told me about some of the situations that he has gotten into, even with a Tesla, you know, having to wait till somebody, you know, gets off the charge. Now, if somebody sits on a Tesla supercharger for more than 20 minutes, if there's any cars waiting and Tesla knows because it uses GPS and Wi-Fi and all that stuff, they've got it figured out. If somebody's sitting there and there's a bunch of people waiting, they'll cut them off and they'll charge them more for the electricity if they go over 20 minutes. Now, I said, well, how much charging can you do in 20 minutes? He says, if I'm at 10% battery and I charge for 20 minutes, I can get to about 50 to 60% charge. I said, well, what if that doesn't get you home? He says, well, I got to stop someplace else and charge up. You know, that may be okay. I don't know. It just depends on where they are. But here in East Tennessee, and you know, if I charged up an electric vehicle at my house, and I have 100% charge in a Mustang Mach-E, for example, it's got about a 300 to 325 mile range. Well, that's easy for me to get to Knoxville and back. I mean, I'm not going to sweat that. And, you know, Johnson City and back multiple times from Greenville. It's only like 30 miles. You know, people that work in and around the Tri-Cities, I think that's going to be doable. The problem is if I want to jump on I-26 and go to the beach, then I've got to do some planning and I've got to figure out what, where I'm going to stop and, what the situation is going to be when I get there, because I don't want to wait 2 hours, for a line of cars to charge up. Now, I told you about the joint development between Purdue University and Ford, and they have developed a charging cable that will handle the current, a much higher flow of current, and could charge a car in less than from zero to a full charge in anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes. Now, that is a breakthrough. The charging cable gets hot. You know, the more current you put through something, the hotter it gets. So they figured out a way to put a cooling system in the cable. If they figure that out, then a lot more people will do it, don't you think? I don't mind sitting or beside a pump or a charging station for about the same time that would take me to fill up my car. That's not an issue. So, you know, what's the main reason that we're going through all of these gyrations and getting electric vehicles is so that we don't pollute the environment, right, with exhaust fumes. And also, so, you know, we don't have to be so dependent on oil. And I don't really see that as a bad thing. I just read that book 1 Second After, and that book scared me about what would happen if we had some kind of a big EMP strike, a nuclear electromagnetic pulse. You know, the technology is there to do it, and it fries all of the any kind of printed circuit. It turns it into melted plastic or silicone, and then you are nothing works. Not even your toaster if it has a printed circuit in it. So that's probably not going to happen, but you never know. Let's take our last break, and I'll be back here in just a second. You know, the other issue with electric vehicles is that they're just expensive. And, you know, right now you can get a $7,500 tax credit if you buy one. But what if you don't pay taxes? Then you don't get a credit. But if you pay more than $7,500 in taxes, then you would get your $7,500 back if you bought certain EVs. Now, that phases out after an automaker sells 200,000 of a particular EV. So when Tesla sold 200,000 model threes, then no more tax credit. So what they're trying to do is to extend that, and the Democrats were trying to, in their Build Back Better or whatever it's called plan, they were trying to tack on an additional incentive that would get it up to about 12.5, I believe. So the government paying you to buy something, you know, some of us libertarian-minded people may have a problem with that. A lot of people don't. You know, they think the government should pay for everything, and they don't realize who pays the government. So, but I am glad to see some action going on this. I mean, it's coming, folks. Whether you like it or not, you're going to be driving an electric vehicle, or if unless you're not with us anymore, you will either be driving or riding in an electric vehicle. Now, you may have a 66 Mustang in your basement. I don't know how much gas is going to cost. You know, I was thinking about basically buying a Ford Bronco right now and give it to my grandson when he turns like 17, 18, something like that. I'm not going to give him something that nice when he's 16. But, gosh, what will the situation be in 5 or 6 years? Nobody knows. So I'm just going to hold off on that. Whatever's available then, that's what he might get. So we have to plan ahead. We have to plan ahead as businesses, as in my particular area in the auto industry, I have to plan ahead. You have to plan ahead, but we have to plan ahead with what we know. You know, we're not these brilliant forecasters. We don't have a crystal ball, and we don't know what it's going to be like, but we just got to prepare for the worst and hope for the best, right? Well, thank you for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and this is Friday, so I guess I will be talking to you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.